Good evening, Dr. Watson.
Good evening, Mr. Bartell. Draw up a chair.
Thanks.
Even up in August. Baker Street was like an oven. The glare of the sunlight and the brickwork of the house across the street was almost painful to the eyes. Our blinds were half drawn, and Holmes lay curled on the sofa, reading and rereading a letter which had just come in by the morning post.
A breath of air.
How about the altitude among the graves of the New Forest, or basking on the shining beach of the South Coast, not there, Holmes?
Dear, quite poetic, eh, Watson? How about a trip to Croydon?
Croydon? Croydon.
Because at the moment, it's the only place that's lure me away from the attractions of London. Moreover, we can combine business with pleasure.
The money known to catch him in summer.
Well, what's been happening at Croydon?
Well, it seems that a Miss Susan Cushing, living at Cross Street, Croydon, received a package by yesterday morning's post.
Oh, well, that's your news about that, Holmes. Thousands of packages must be delivered daily by Spark.
Possibly, Watson, possibly. But not with such gruesome contents. I've just received a note from Inspector Lestrade. He asks me to go down and take a look at that package. Certain guard seems to feel that it's the result of a particularly revolting practical joke. What do you say, Watson? Can you rise to carry out of the heat and run down to Croydon?
Oh, can I? I've been wanting something to do.
Good. Well, suppose you're in for our boots and tell Mrs. Hudson to order a cab.
Croydon is certainly less attractive than London, eh, Holmes?
Yes. Tidy street, this. Neat little houses with our white and stone steps. Ah, that must be Miss Susan Cushing's house up ahead. The one next to the corner. I rather to expect us.
Yes, but she is waiting for us on Dawson. At least I judge that her attitude. She seems to be expecting us.
Yes. Pleasant-faced little woman with large, gentle eyes and graying hair. I wonder who she expects in a case like this. Good afternoon. Miss Susan Cushing, I presume?
Oh, yes. And you're Mr. Holmes, I'm sure. Don't you come in, gentlemen.
Thank you, Miss Cushing. May I introduce my friend and colleague, Dr. Watson?
I am delighted to know you.
Oh, I mean, pleasure is mine, madam.
Won't you come into the parlor, gentlemen? Now, please, sit down.
Thank you. Well, Miss Cushing, is there something we can do for you?
Oh, yes, Mr. Holmes. I wish you'd take that dreadful box away. Inspector Lestrade insisted on leaving it here, and when he came, he thought you might want to ask me some questions, but I know nothing whatever about it.
I quite understand, Miss Cushing. I've no doubt that you've been annoyed more than enough already over this business.
Indeed, I have, Mr. Holmes. I'm a quiet woman, and I lead a quiet life. It's got me so I'm afraid to stay in the house alone.
Yes, I no wonder. I hope you won't consider me a prisoner if I knew you live here alone, particularly as you have two sisters.
Why, yes, I have two sisters, Mr. Holmes. Sarah and Mary. But how did you know?
A picture on the mantelpiece. The two young ladies and the young man standing between them. The family resemblance was quite marked.
Oh, God. That picture was taken at Liverpool just a few days before Jim Browner eloped with Mary. That's the new picture. Mary's the one on his left. She was the baby of the family.
The other one was Sarah, I take it.
Yes, she was the beauty of Sarah. Well, but it was her that Jim was after. She was pretty crazy about him, too, but I guess she made the better choice. Sarah's disposition wasn't any too easy to live with. However, I wondered how he stood having her in the house as long as he did.
But, I thought you said it was Mary with which Mr. Browner married.
So I did, Mr. Holmes. But soon after they were married, Sarah went to live with them in Liverpool, and I have a sneaking suspicion it was Sarah who caused most of the trouble.
Well,
when he first met Mary, he was kind and considerate. Oh, he was crazy about her right enough, but somehow it didn't last. He grew more and more irritable, and whenever he lost his temper, he'd go stark, staring mad. First thing I heard, he quarreled with Sarah and turned her out of the house. Got her meddling, I suspect, and gave her a piece of his mind. Well, after that, she came here to live with me for a bit, but that didn't last long either. She's taken a house at New Street, Wellington. She's not easy to get on with, Mr. Holmes.
I see. And does Mr. Browner change after your sister Sarah left him and Mary?
That I don't know, Mr. Holmes. You see, Mary stopped writing me when Sarah moved here. I guess she Jim was already.
Jim was a steward, I gather, from the uniform in that picture.
Oh, yes, that was his trade. He was on the South American line when that picture was taken. I am telling you all about my family troubles, and it's that dreadful box you've come about.
Yes, so it is. You haven't any suspicion as to who may have sent it?
But I haven't, Mr. Holmes. Unless it was some lodgers I had here last spring, medical students they were, from Belfast. The box was postmarked Belfast, you see, and Inspector Lestrade seemed to think it might be them. They were always up to some tricks, but, oh, never anything like this, Mr. Mm-hmm. Holmes.
I see. Well, suppose you let us have a look at that box, Miss Cushing.
It's out in the back shed, Mr. Holmes. I won't keep it in the house, that I won't. Oh, I wish you'd take it away altogether. This way, gentlemen. You'll pardon me if I don't go with you. I can't bear to look at the nasty things again.
I quite understand, Miss Cushing.
Thank you, gentlemen. Oh, I'd be honored if you and Dr. Watson would stop in for a bit of tea after you've finished.
Oh, thank you. We'd be delighted, Miss Cushing. Look at Holmes. How soon that confounded box and everybody's so upset about it.
Well, your curiosity, Watson. You'll see soon enough. Come along down the path. The door seems to be unlocked.
I don't understand this case. Why did the murderer
had some strong reason.
What did she tell her the deed was done to cause her pain?
But in that case, she must have never sent it. If she knew, why call the police in? Why not bury the ear until nobody would be any the wiser? I don't know if she knows nothing about it, and therefore can't tell the police. Well, she knows everything and doesn't want to mention his name.
And to both suppositions, correct?
Yes, but I don't understand
that. Did it occur to you, Watson, that there are two Miss S. Cushing, Miss Susan and Miss Sarah? The box was meant for Sarah, but Susan opened it by mistake.
Yes, but...
The gentleman who sent it believed that Sarah was still living with Miss Susan Cushing.
In the case of Sarah, must know who the murderer is.
Right. She understands so well that she's had a complete nervous breakdown.
Yes, but I thought that Miss Cushing said that her sister lived in Wellington.
So she did, Watson. So she did.
If you want to find out who the murderer is, why not go to Wellington? Why drag me off to Liverpool like this in the middle of the night?
Because, Watson, I don't need to find out the name of the murderer. I know it.
What?
No more. I'm confident that my conclusions are correct. If I sent the name of the guilty party to Inspector Lestrade, unfortunately, you'll not be able to apprehend the criminal until tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, you're talking nonsense. Now, you don't even know who the murdered man and woman are.
Not again, Watson, or rather, partly wrong. I know who the woman was.
Who?
Miss Susan Cushing's sister. You saw the feathered female here, Watson, and you saw Miss Cushing here. There's a marked family resemblance. The same broad curve of the upper lobe, the same convolution of the inner cartilage.
I'm blessed. Look here, if the package was sent to Sarah, it couldn't have been earlier.
Right. Therefore, it must have belonged to the other sister, Mary.
Then the man's here. Who is he?
That's what we've come to Liverpool to find out.
Where can we get our information from at this hour of the night?
Seahorse, sir. This is the house.
Good. Wait here for us, will you, Gary?
Come on, sir, Gary.
This is where we begin our inquiry, Watson. The house of Mr. Jim Browner.
Oh, sir, no.
Yes, sir. I know, Watson, I know. Just let me do all the talking, will you?
Hello? Anybody home?
Who's there?
Two gentlemen with a message for Mrs. Browner.
I say, home.
He's not a girl.
Very well, then, I'll speak to Mr. Browner.
He's not a girl neither.
You know, I must speak to someone. It's a police affair, understand? A matter of life and death.
Oh, Lord,
Governor.
I'll open the door at once.
Just
you right there.
Now, would you tell the girl that Mrs. Brown has been murdered?
No, certainly not. You know that. Here she comes.
Step in, gentlemen. Step in. Oh, was that relieved when I thought who you was? I thought my dear was in, come back again.
Jim? What do you mean?
Jim, the master, Mr. Browner. The ship's not due till tomorrow, but after what happened on Tuesday, you never know. And she ain't come back yet neither. The missus, I mean. I wouldn't want to be the one to have to tell him she'd been away from home for some
days. What do you mean? What did happen on Tuesday?
Tuesday? Why, that was the day the missus went off to New Brighton with that Alex Fairburn. In the master can't abide.
Alex Fairburn? Who's he?
He's a mate on the master Jervis. Swaggering sort of fella. I haven't much use for him, I haven't. Miss Sarah, that's Mr. Browner's sister, the one who used to live with us. But it was Miss Sarah who brought him to the house because she knew Mr. Browner had no use for him.
Yeah. She did it to irritate Mr. Browner.
Yes, she did. She was funny that way. She could take a delight and get him upset. But it wasn't until Mr. Fairbairn started being sick to the missus that she went on and downset. Finally, he told her, Miss Sarah, that is, to kick Mr. Fairbairn out of the house, or he'd send her one of his ears for a keepsake.
Well,
yes, sir. And he carried on such terrible things off his temper. But it wasn't the last Tuesday that I saw how bad he could be. Lord love us, what a guy that was, to be sure.
And what happened on Tuesday?
Oh, he was terrible. He was snoring, jumbling. But I heard so much as to breathe it to a soul. But I've been a thinking it over, I have. I ain't for sure I oughtn't to tell somebody. That with Mrs. Browner not coming home and all.
Quite right. Suppose you tell us.
Well, it was Tuesday. Mr. Browner had started on his run up to Belfast that morning. Leastwise, we thought he had. Along about 10 o'clock, I sees that Mr. Fairbairn drive up to the door all smiles and the colonel of starch. He don't get out of the cab, just sits there and waits. And pretty soon, Mrs. Browner comes sitting on the stairs. You're not going out for that
Mr. Fairbairn, are you?
Yes, why not?
What will Mr. Brown do if he finds out?
But he won't find out, Millie. I'm sure there's nothing wrong about it. We're just going down to New Brighton for the day.
That Mr. Brown?
Oh, there's brother Mr. Brown.
Besides, Fair is right. A woman with a good of a husband is entitled to a little pleasure now and then.
I'll be home by 9 at the latest. I wish she wouldn't do it. I don't trust that Mr. Fairbairn. I don't trust him at all.
Opened up one of the plates. Listen, the development in quite a week. We had to put back into port. I will sail again in 12 hours. Mary! Oh, Mary! Oh, where the deuce is she?
She's gone out, sir.
Well, marketing?
No, sir. She's gone to New Brighton for the day.
New Brighton? She didn't tell me she was going there. Look here. That wasn't Mary I passed in the street riding in the cab with that swine.
Oh,
so that's it. My own wife gone to Brighton with Alex Fairbairn. Thought they could fool me, did they? I warned her what I'd do if she ever saw him again, and by heaven, I'll do it.
I'm sorry, you won't do nothing, Ace.
Won't I?
Oh, Mr.
Brown! For you, Billy. If you ever so much as tell a soul that I came home today, I'll slit your throat from ear to ear. Yes, brother.
Down to meet the major, of course. She docks at 3 o'clock. Had you forgotten? We must apprehend Brown before he has a chance to escape.
We're prying around those filthy docks in his burning sun.
No, thank you.
I shall stay quietly here and do my perspiring at home.
Don't you, Chef Brown, murdered his wife. And from his world, a dangerous criminal. You caught it in your barge about. Free to murder other people.
The intention of letting him remain at large, Watson, but arresting Brown is a routine piece of business. After all, which is why Scotland Yard to do something to earn its ridiculous salary. Yes, I sent word around to Inspector Lestrade. I fancy you down on the dock at this very moment, giving his pals a nice workout. Yes. But even so, I doubt very much that he'll be able to consummate his bit of routine business.
Well, you mean you think that Brown has escaped?
In a way, Watson. In a way.
Mr. Browner escaped, Dr. Watson?
Yes, Mr. Fairbairn, he did, but not in the way that I anticipated. You see, he committed suicide just before the May Day reached port.
Poor devil.
Yes, they found his corpse with a letter beside it in which he confessed to having committed the double murder. It seems that he followed them to New Brighton. It was a hot day, and they rented a rowing boat, thinking it would be cooler out on the water. There was a haze, and Browner rented another boat. When they were out of sight off the shore and surrounded by fog, he overtook them, killed them, cut off their ears, and sank the boat.
Now, Dr. Watson, how about a tip on next week's adventure?
Let me see. Next week, I think I'll tell you how Holmes broke into the house with Mr. Josiah Emler.
Well, what was he looking for, Dr. Watson?
Robins, Mr. Vernon. Two men, Robins.